Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles to John 3:16. And you know, you think you've exhausted all the revelation out of this scripture, and you look at it and you say, wow, okay, let's look at this again. And we're going to read this. I like reading this, kind of hooked up with what Pastor Greg does here. He kind of looks at John 3:16 and then John 13:34 and 35. Wonderful combination of scriptures together. Now let's read that together if you have your Bible. If you don't, why don't you look on with someone? And I'm going to read out of the King James Version, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to read 17 and 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read this. I read it periodically. I'm going to read it today. You can just listen. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And I like this from the Amplified. The entrance and unfolding of your words give light. That means revelation. That comes from the Spirit of God, that as we ponder and meditate upon the Word of God, it's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to reveal and unfold and give light through the Word of God. And we know how that goes. We're reading along sometimes, motoring along, and we go, wow! Right? That's revelation. That's understanding that comes. Amen. So let's look at, I want us to, let's jump over and read John 13, then we'll go back to John chapter 3 again and look at verse 16. John 13, let's read that together, verse 34 and 35. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, let's jump back to John 3:16. And we're talking about today the gift that keeps on giving. And it got me to thinking about a couple of things. The first thing is when we talk about, for God so loved the world. I'm going to stop right there. God so loved the world. So he shows you here his love. I'm going to read this. This is the complete Jewish Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only and unique Son. And I like the Message sometimes. I'm going to read a couple of translations, but the Message translation, this is how much God loved the world. How much? It says he gave his Son, his only, one and only Son, and this is why. I like this. So that no one need be destroyed. He came so that no one need be destroyed. That means it's for everyone. Not one person is left out. He loved them so much. And it says, by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Not one person need be destroyed. That's how much he loved us. So one of the first thoughts, there's four thoughts here. I'm going to break down these four thoughts in John 3:16. The prerequisite of the gift. And it got me thinking about the prerequisite of the gift. There is none. There's no prerequisite. And it got me to thinking about a couple of thoughts. You ever see, and right now, we're reviewing, because every year we provide, well, not every year, I mean, we provide health and dental, life insurance, those things for the employees here. So every year at the end of the year, or coming up to the end of the year, your policies have to be renewed. So every year you have to look at them and you have to decide, okay, what policy are we going to have? Are we going to renew? Are we going to do something different? You understand the process, right? And so right now, this year, we did last year, we're looking at, last year we started looking at traditional versus non-traditional insurance policies, or actually traditional and non-traditional. Non-traditional is really not an insurance policy. They're usually provided by Christian healthcare providers, and they're not considered traditional. They're not an insurance company. They share, but they still cover the costs. But one of the things that some of the Christian providers, and also there were laws passed for traditional healthcare providers, is that they could not impose pre-existing conditions. I'm going somewhere with this for a second. So with some insurance providers or non-traditional, if you have a pre-existing condition, you're not covered. Well, I thank God that he didn't say, you have some pre-existing condition of sin. That's what I'm talking about. And said, you're not covered. No, the blood covered my sins. And not only mine, but it says the entire world. So there's not one person that was left out from his sacrifice. No prerequisites. Let me read here something. These are just, of course, you can do this. I'll read this, but you can go to a dictionary and look it up. A prerequisite is something that you officially must have or do before you can have or do something else. So that means I would have to be in a certain position to qualify for salvation. Don't have to. There's no prerequisite. None. That means none. The only thing that I have to do, and that's not even a prerequisite, the only thing I have to do is believe and confess that he did what he did. That's it. I don't have to do anything else. So I'm not disqualified because of my sin and my life. And the wonderful thing about the gift that keeps on giving is because the blood continually, even when I don't know I'm missing it, even when I'm in sin and I'm blinded, he still, see, because salvation, I'm responsible for what I know. If I'm in sin and I don't know it, the blood covers it. The blood covers it, and I'm free from it, and I can walk free of sin. But the minute I know I'm in sin, what am I responsible to do? Say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. So there's no prerequisite. I don't have to do something to qualify. That's how much he loved. No prerequisite. God loved us so much, he loved the world. That's what I want to take out of that. Number one, no prerequisite. Isn't that good news? I'm telling you, that's so good news to me, because we were going backwards to hell and didn't even know it. Hallelujah. John 1:4, in him was life, or eternal life. And the thing that I like about that is that in him was life. You know, we read right over that. It says, in him was life. That's Zoe. That's the God kind of life. That, what is that? Eternal life. So when I received him, I received something that always was and never will die, never will end. I have it in me. That's why when you look at Mary Beverly, she looks so good at 87, because she has what inside of her? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is quickening, giving life to this mortal body. Doesn't mean we're going to live eternally in this flesh or forever, but I'm telling you, sure make you look good and at peace. Hallelujah. Because it's doing something to this flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 6 for a moment. See, this is just a simple message, but a message that you can take in your heart and share at the grocery store. That people can understand and say, look, man, you don't need to do anything, be anything, give anything to get this gift. It's free. And, you know, I laugh sometimes. You know, I know you know this, but you look at certain offers. You never see those you get in the mail, free gift. And then in the fine print, it says, if you do this, 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 and this, right? If you spend this money, buy this car, do this, that then you get a free gift. That ain't free. That's got a condition associated with it, right? You ever see this? You go on a free trip, but then you got to sit and listen to somebody for 2 hours give you a spiel. That ain't free. Free means free. No prerequisite. No condition. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you get to Romans 6? Verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God, the what? The gift of God is eternal life. That's Zoe life. Through who? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me read this. I like this. This is from the New Century Version. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God... I'm sorry. I'm reading the King James again. This is the New Century Version. When people sin, they earn what sin pays, death. But God gives us a free gift, life forever, in Christ Jesus our Lord. I like that. Life forever. This is the Amplified. For the wages which sin pays is death, but the bountiful free gift of God is eternal life through and in union with Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. I want to read another one. This is another scripture verse. Look at verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 8. This is how much he loved us. This gives you from the scripture how much God loved us. Hallelujah. Starting in verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us. And you look at that and say, okay, how did he do that? What did it say? In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much he loved us. Verse 9, much more than being now, much more than now, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? Wrath through him. For, verse 10, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Listen to this. This is a New Living Translation. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's judgment. For since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. We are delivered from eternal punishment. You ever think about that? Something that never ends. Eternal punishment. We're not talking about a year, 10 years, 1,000 years, 100,000. We're talking about eternal punishment that never ends.
Amen.
We are going to have eternal presence, eternal life, something we were eternally in the presence of God forever.
Hallelujah.
Because of his Son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. We're just looking at a few scripture verses here to show how much God loved us. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, you have to go through this. Just look at scripture sometimes, because people walk through circumstances in life and the devil talks, and he will get people to begin to question what they're walking through and whether God really loves them or not. Did he go to Jamaica on me? Is he still here? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 4. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. And I was just looking at something this morning. Let me read this in some other translations here. Verses 4 and 5. Ephesians 2, and it says, and I'm going to continue reading in verse 5. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Listen to the Good News Bible. But God's mercy is so abundant, and his love for us is so great, that while we were spiritually dead in our disobedience, he brought us to life with Christ. Even when we were dead in our disobedience. The Amplified, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, he gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I'll tell you what I do when I'm not feeling a certain way in the natural. I'm quick to say, the Spirit of God lives in me, and the same life that raised him from the dead is quickening me and changing and quickening my body and my thinking and my actions. It's changing me and quickening me. And I remind my body, and I remind any kind of demonic influence that comes against my mind or my body, that the life of Christ is in me, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the blood of Jesus is living in me and coursing through me, and I'm protected and sealed by that. Amen. You've got to know that. Don't go by your feelings. Don't go by what your mind is saying. Go by this word. Because it's settled in heaven, and the devil knows it, and he'll bow to the word. Don't be moved by your feelings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me get over here. John, 1 John. Let's go to chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And let's look at verse 10. We're looking at how much God loved us. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 10. First John chapter 4 and verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, see, when we were yet sinners, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. You know, that's a big word. That just means to be a sacrifice, to be a substitute. He was the substitute for my sins. He loved me, not that I loved him when I was a sinner. He loved me and sent his Son to be the sacrifice, the substitute for fallen man. Hallelujah. That's love. Glory to God. So you can see here how much God loved us, and he sent his Son. And you think about this, us naturally, right? How many people give gifts to their enemies? I didn't think so. I didn't see this, or I'm thinking about it. See, I saw no hands go up. See, so we don't give gifts normally. I didn't say we don't, but we normally don't give gifts to our enemies. He did. And not just to one or two. The whole world was his enemy. He came and died for every man so that they don't have to be destroyed. I'm telling you, that's great love. That's intense love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just remember, no prerequisite. I didn't have to do something to get something because I'd have never qualified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, you're still in John 3:16? Let's go back there because we're going to look at this again a few more times. John 3:16. So we looked at that first part of that, for God so loved the world. Okay? He loved the world what? That he did what? He gave his only begotten Son. And I say that's the preciousness of the gift. There was no prerequisite, no conditions, but the preciousness of the gift that he gave his only Son, his only unique Son. That's precious. Is it not? I think it is. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let me get over there. I'll look at just a few scriptures here to support that. He gave us his most precious commodity, his Son. He spared not his Son, which is what Romans 8:32. He spared not his own Son, but he did what? He delivered him up for some of us. Says, for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let me read this out of the Message. You know, somehow the Message sometimes translation just says it in a way that connects. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition, I like that. He embraced my condition. And exposing himself to the worst by sending his own Son. He embraced my condition and he exposed himself to the worst. That's precious. Is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? I think that says it all, don't you? He did not hold back. He gave his most precious commodity. 1 John, let's look at 1 John chapter 4. We're looking at now the preciousness of his gift, the commodity, the who he sent. 1 John chapter 4, we looked at before, we looked at verse 10, but look at verse 9. It says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." He sent his only begotten Son into the world. The New Living Translation. God showed us how much he loved us by sending his only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Hallelujah. So he sent his most precious. And some translations said his only and unique Son. So there was a preciousness to that. Amen. Let's go back. We're going to jump back again. John 3:16. Let's go back again. This is the next piece to this. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his," what? "His only begotten Son." What's the next piece? "That whosoever believeth in him." No, that's it. "Whosoever should believe in him." It's personalized. There's a personalization to this gift. So there's no prerequisites. There was a preciousness, and there was a personalization to this gift. What was the personalization? "Whosoever." "Whosoever believes in him." So you can see here. Now let's look at, and it's not just believing. Turn over to James chapter 2 for a second. Just look at this particular scripture. James chapter 2. And look at verse 17 through 20. James chapter 2. It says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." So it's not just enough, "whosoever believeth." But this says here, what does it say? "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." But what does verse 20 say? "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." So you must believe, Romans 10, 9 and 10, you must believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with thy mouth. So there must be that action of believing and confessing to establish that relationship where he has become your master, your savior, your Lord, your savior. Amen. Now, one last scripture, John, for this section. John chapter 1, let's look at verse 12. Familiar scripture. I'm going to actually start reading from verse 9. "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." This is John chapter 1, starting in verse 9. Verse 10. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Hallelujah. So this is personalized to the entire world. Whosoever shall believe and receive him, they shall be saved. And receive what? Eternal, everlasting life. Amen. Okay, you know where we're going. We're going to go to John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave, what? His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, what's the last part? If you believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a permanence to that. And what do I mean by that? If you look up permanence, it says the quality of or state of being permanent, durability. One dictionary says the condition or quality of being permanent, perpetual or continued existence. I like that. There's permanence in eternal life. So there's a permanence to this. Amen. It's without, of course, we know what eternal is. Without beginning or end, lasting forever, it's not temporal. This is eternal life. Let's look at John 3:15. We're going to, well, you're there in John. I'm going to just read the verse before that. John chapter 3 and verse 15. That whosoever, see, we're back to this word, whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's eternal life. You ever think about that? Eternal life, it had no beginning, and it had no end. And we received it. So we will never die. Hallelujah. We've just received his eternal life. Why? He said, it's whosoever. Amen. Let's go to John, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, and look at verse, starting in verse 11. I'm going to read from the King James. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. That's Zoe life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. See, you don't have to guess. You may know that ye have eternal life, Zoe life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the New Living Translation. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So whoever has God's Son has life. Whoever does not have his Son does not have life. Verse 13, I write this to you who believe in the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. So there should never be a moment, a second, a microsecond that you ever question whether you have eternal life. And that life is what is eternal. And that means you are eternally saved. So don't ever listen to thoughts about, well, God's not going to do this, and you think, He has commended His love towards you. You received Him, and you have His life living in you. So never, ever question whether God loves you, whether He's for you, whether you are saved or not saved, whether He's helping you or not helping you. He said, when we were yet sinners, if He commended this love toward us when we were yet sinners, how much more now that we've received Him, that He won't provide all things for us? And please, you know, one of the things that I have, through the years, become more aware is that faith is a confident knowing of something. And when you have faith, that's why it's important that you read these scriptures and meditate on them, so that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And so whenever you walk in a situation in life, you can have confidence that you know God is for you and you have His life living in you. You can have what? Confidence. And what does the scripture say? Now faith is the substance or confidence of things hoped for. It's the evidence of something not seen. So I may not see it, and it may not taste good, but this says this confidence is something that I have that I can't see. And I'm expecting something to happen. What does that say? The faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the ground on which this confident expectation rests upon. So I have a confident expectation that God loves me. I have a confident expectation that He's for me, even when it doesn't look like it. I have a confident expectation He's working things out. What does it say? He works things out, all things out for good for those that what? Love Him. So I have a confident expectation that even though it don't look like it, God's working out something good in my life because He first loved me. How much more now that I'm in Him and He's in me, that He's not going to provide all things for me. He's going to work something out good. That's my confident expectation. I'm looking for it. Why? Because I know He loves me. God so loved the world. I could put myself and my name in there. He so loved me that He sent His Son here for me. That whosoever, that's me, I believed in Him. And I am not going to perish, but I have everlasting life. I've got His eternal life living in me now. So I'm confident He's for me. You know, this seems simple, but you know what? You can take the simplicity of the gospel, and there's power in the gospel. That gospel, that power will begin to stir in me, what? Faith. And I'm confident that He's for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John. Let's look at John chapter 3 for a second. Let's go back to the John, the book of John, chapter 3, and look at verse 36. John chapter 3 and verse 36. Says, this is the King James, "He that believeth on the Son hath." See, that means you already have it. If you believed and confessed with your mouth, you've already got it. You know, he said, "Well, I don't feel like it." It don't matter what you feel like. The Bible says we just need to choose to believe it. This says you already have it. You have it. You have eternal life, everlasting life. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." That doesn't sound good, does it? No. John chapter 6. Jump over to John chapter 6 and look at verse 33. John chapter 6, verse 33. "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." This is whosoever. So this life, eternal life, is available to the world, whosoever. Jump over to John 10. John 10, 10. You know this scripture verse? Says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy, but I am come that they might have life," Zoe, that's his nature and life, "and that they might have it more abundantly." The New Living says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Listen to this. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness." That's his purpose. That's God's purpose. If it looks like, smells like stealing, killing, and destroying, it's not from him. You need to stand up against it and say, "The life of God is in me, and greater is he that is in me. Greater is eternal life in me than this situation." It cannot stand against it. That situation must change. Eternal life. Hallelujah. So we can see, what are the 4 points we looked at? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What was the first point? No prerequisite. No pre-existing condition. I didn't have to do something to get his love. I was a sinner, and when I didn't know him, he died for me. No condition. What was the second thing? He sent his only begotten Son. He sent his best, precious commodity. What was the other one? Personalized. Whosoever believeth on him. And what was the last? Should not perish but have everlasting life, a permanence to it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Simple message, but I'll tell you, it'll stir faith in your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I do it almost every single day. I thank God for the eternal life that lives in me. I thank God for the greater one that lives in me. Sometimes, you know how you get out of bed, you got one eye open, the other eye's closed, and you're kind of going along here, and you're saying, okay, what way, what direction am I going? Am I going forward or backward? Sometimes you need to talk to yourself in the morning to tell yourself, I'm great. I'm going over today. Everything I set my hands to is blessed. I'm a overcomer. Who? In Christ. Who does what? strengthens me. How does he strengthen you? With his eternal life. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead strengthens me and quickens me. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I am excited about eternal life living in me. Glory to God. Bless God. Hallelujah. Did you get a little something to chew on this morning? You know, some say, well, that was a little too simple for me. Well, I'm a simple person. And the gospel's simple. And sometimes you need to get back and just meditate on the simplicity of the gospel and feed upon it, because it'll get you over in life. Amen. Remind the devil that he's defeated. Remind him that you're an overcomer. Amen. Glory to God. Bless God. Amen. Father, we thank you for this message of the gospel and the simplicity of the gospel. And we thank you that when we were yet dead in our sins, you commended your love toward us. You decided you wanted us back to you, and you sent your Son here to die for us. And we thank you, Father, that you sent your best to us, and you made it available to all of us, Father. And we thank you that when we received you, we received your best. We received your very nature to live in us. And as we meditate upon your word, we become transformed and we become like you in ever increasing measures of glory. And we begin to think like you, and we begin to act like you, and we begin to talk like you. In Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father. We're so grateful and appreciative of you. We give you our lives and our thoughts and our words, and we ask that you help us, Father, even when we fail. Father, we thank you for you're not a man that gets angry quickly, and you're gracious and slow to anger, quick to love. And we thank you, Father, that even when we've missed it and fallen short, that you're there to pick us up and to love us and to help us. Thank you for your Spirit who lives in us. And we thank you, Father, this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen.